The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Yeah, welcome back to the next episode
of Talk Scary to Me.
Talk Scary to Me.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed that first podcast.
Get to know a lot about us, ladies.
Yeah, did you guys figure out that scary
sound?
Did anybody hear it?
That was, y'all. Okay. I've had a ghost follow me from all, it's been in all of my houses.
Oh, that is crazy.
Every single one.
So now I've had to wait to hear this story. I would like to know what is in this house that you bring me to.
Okay, now nobody knows this. Like, I actually got to make sure my mom doesn't see this because she'll probably be freaked out. We moved into the house in the summer, like 2 years ago, right? We were doing a lottery modeling, and I was in Scotland filming a movie, and I had put a bunch of stuff that we were selling from, like, we just ripped everything out, and we were just selling it on Facebook Marketplace. So someone contacted me when I was there saying, yes, I love, it was like the vanity in like my bathroom down here, something that just didn't go with my style. So I was putting in a new, more contemporary vanity. So she's like, yes, I love it. Da, da, da. What, you know, they don't know where you live when you put stuff on Facebook. So I was like, oh, you know, here's the, you know, she's like, I wanted to come see it. So I messaged my husband and said, she's going to come see it. If you want to contact her, you know, give her the address, whatever. So he gives her the address, and I see they're messaging because I'm in the group message, and she's like, oh my God, I used to live two doors down from you when I was married. I used to live like, oh my God, you're in, I won't say the name of that, the people that lived in this house, but everybody always referred to the people that lived in my house by their last names. But there was another couple in between those people and us, but nobody ever talked about the people in between. It was always like, oh, you know, the Smiths, let's just call them the Smiths. Yeah. You're in the Smiths house. And I was like, God, the Smiths, everybody loves like, the Smiths.
Yeah.
You know, everybody talks about the Smiths, but they don't talk about, you know, the ones in between them.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Anyway. So she comes, she looks at the vanity and she buys it. And she says to my husband something, I wasn't here. This is just third. I'm here. It's like telephone almost.
Okay.
She says something like, oh, you know, it's awful what happened in that house. My husband's like,
what?
What happened in the house? She's like, oh, you didn't hear? He's like, no, I didn't hear anything. What are you talking about? Apparently, Mrs. Smith and Mr. Smith got into a fight.
Okay.
Or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened. And I'll tell you when this happened after I tell you the story, which I just found that out like a few weeks ago. And I don't know if Mrs. Smith was drunk or on drugs, or was an accident, or it was not an accident, but she fell off the balcony out of my bedroom.
No.
And died in my driveway.
Are you serious? This one over here?
Uh-huh. So they said she died on the way to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
No one's really given me like the exact story. But
he wasn't charged anything.
Like, no, it was completely. She had alcohol in her system, I guess. And he wasn't, he was found at no fault. Like, I guess she had two young children. And he was supposedly with, from what I've heard, he was with them and they got into a fight. She went upstairs and she fell off of the balcony, supposedly. But people thought that maybe he pushed her or something else. So anyway, the creepy thing and for me was that she was my age.
Wow.
So she was 43, which is I expected her to be like much older for some reason.
Yeah, that's what I pictured.
Like some drunk, you know, woman in her like late 50s that's like fighting, you know, with like teenage kids. She was young. She had young sons.
Whoa.
And really, yeah, so weird. Because when we bought the house, I always felt like there was something kind of odd. My house has like they rebuilt like above my garage and stuff, so there were some things that had been changed. Nothing was changed after the Smiths were here.
Yeah.
But and they still, you know, the husband and kids still lived in the house for I think 3 or 4 years after it had happened.
Wow.
So it wasn't like something where they felt like they, you know, it didn't feel like anything bad, I guess. So I don't ever feel anything bad in here. Sometimes I'll lay in my bed and like look out the, you know, look out the door and think like, how is that possible that she could have, unless she was climbing up on something, because the banister's high. So, you know, maybe that she was trying to water something. But anyway, it had happened. So my neighbors came over a couple weeks ago during quarantine, and they hadn't been in our house because we'd moved in, and then there was quarantine. So they came over, and we were talking, and I guess the wife of my neighbor used to play tennis with Mrs. Smith.
Wow.
And she was just saying how lovely she was, and you know, it was just tragic because it happened. They went to a Halloween party, and it happened on Halloween Eve.
No, it did not.
Yes, it did.
Oh, my God. There's no way that this woman just, like, fell. There's no way. What do you think?
I think maybe
what
they were...
What does that woman think?
She doesn't know.
She has no, like...
My gut tells me that she was probably drunk, and they were fighting, and maybe she, like...
What makes you, like, climb on a banister?
That's just not the way you kill yourself.
No.
So, I mean, maybe you can see there used to be plants and stuff up there, and there were chairs out there that I actually got rid of pretty quickly after I found out that had been here from then.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff that still stayed in the house after they had moved out, and the owner before us just kept in the house. It's, like, weird. But once I found out that she had died here... I felt a sense of peace, like almost like she was happy that I was taking care of her home and like raising my babies here, and we were happy and things were good. Yeah. So I definitely felt like, okay, she's cool with me being here. Like, I'm cool. She'll make sure everything is like all right. So, but when I hear stuff, I definitely think like, you know, she's kind of visiting and checking stuff out. And when I removed things, because there were a lot of kitschy things in my house that aren't really my style, like our fireplace had these like black wrought iron cats.
Oh, strange.
With like glowing eyes, like as wherever the wood, I don't know what that's called. And I was like, oh, that's got to go. And then I hadn't got rid of it until after. Then I found out about her, and then I removed it with like, I'm sorry, I'm respecting your stuff, but this just doesn't really fit with me, so I'm just going to put it over here. You know, like, I wanted to make sure, like, I wasn't, like, throwing her shit out.
Getting rid of my cats, bitch? Getting rid of my cats?
Yes. So no one knows. That only my sister and my husband knew, and they didn't tell me until months later, because David thought I was going to want to move.
Yeah.
So he was like, I'm not telling her, because if she wants to move, this is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
So we went to dinner with like TGI Fridays, and I could tell he had something on his mind. And again, it was like months after we'd moved in. He's like, so I have something to tell you. And I was like, what? He's like, so our house. And I was like, what happened in our house?
Oh, no.
And he's like, well, I was like, did someone die in our house? Did someone murdered in our house? And he was like, not exactly. I was like, did someone drown in the pool? Because if someone drowned in the pool, then I probably would want
to
leave.
Yeah, you'd have to leave.
Because it would feel like it would be tragic. Yeah. Like, even though that was tragic, that seemed to be quick for some reason. So Mrs. Smith.
Do you think it made you feel better that it was a female than a man dying in your home?
Well, my first house I had on my own, there was the man had died there. So, and I always felt like he was hanging out. Like, he built the house and raised his whole family there. And he died in like his late 80s.
Okay.
So I always felt, but like my fan would turn on in the middle of the night and my light, like random things would happen. The music would turn up full blast in my living room, like weird things. But I always felt like, oh, this is cute. You know, it didn't really bother me.
Okay.
After my friend Jonathan died, weird shit started happening in my rental house that I was in. That would, like, I sat in my living room one time and watched with people and watched the door handle turn and the door close and unturn, and nobody was in there.
Oh, that's strange. I grew up in the mortuary world, and I've
for those of you that don't know.
Oh, yes. Mortuary living over here. My girl in the flesh.
It's crazy.
But I've had my one crazy thing was, you know, as a kid being in that environment, I didn't really have too many friends. So I had a lot of imaginary friends.
Dead people?
Yes. Well, you know, I mean, at that time, you don't really register that. But I remember I had this one particular like little girl that I would talk to all the time. And I guess my dad asked me, like, this is when I was really young. So it's like before, like, I knew, like, how to spell my name correctly, mm-hmm. like, you know. And my middle name is Star. And so, you know, my dad just thought, oh, I named her Star. And he was like, well, what does she look like? And I, like, described what she looked like to my dad. And my dad, like, went pale. Oh, God. And my dad was like, can I show you a picture? And he showed me a picture. And I was like, oh, that's Star.
And it was someone that he had.
And it was who he named me after.
Oh, shit.
He had buried a little girl like 2 or 3 years prior, I guess, that he knew. Yeah. And her name was Star. And he told me that when I was in my adult years. And I was like, what?
Oh, my God.
I was like, that is crazy. I was like, I was just fucking hanging out with like.
We were just chilling. Oh my
Are
God.
Are you kidding me? Oh. Like serious, like Amityville horror bullshit here? Oh. Yeah, that was nuts.
Oh my God.
But I've never
had weird things happen in your house, even though you grew up with a bunch of spirits, no. Essentially.
No, like I'll get from time to time, but I think like people like put it down to like a paralysis kind of thing that you have, like yeah. in bed. Like yeah. I'll There was one time that my roommate, she told me, she was like, she had like a bad thing. Like follow her.
Uh-oh.
Like a bad thing. And I didn't know that moving in with her. And like Uh-oh. Apparently a lot of fucking weird shit would happen to her. And I remember I slept in her bed when she was gone because I was watching her dog. And literally it felt like somebody was crawling on top of me. And the weight, oh it felt like God. A big man oh was God. Getting on top of me and pushing me deeper and deeper in to the bed. And I remember I was very calm. I didn't panic. And I just kind of like kept saying in my head, like, I know that this is happening. It's going to be okay. I'm just going to go to sleep now. And I just like you to like stop. Mm. And I fell asleep eventually. And then it was done. But
so this was happening when you were awake.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But, you know, you can't do anything. You just gotta, like, not panic. Just gotta
ride it out. Oh, my God. Like,
okay, this is happening.
Like, it's not gonna kill you.
No.
You have to know it's not gonna kill you.
No, yeah. But that was, like, the only thing. But I'm, like, all about ghosts and ghost stories and all of that.
Ooh, and send like, in your ghost stories, people.
Oh, my God, yes.
I want to hear all of this stuff.
I know. It's like reading my dad's case files is, like, my yes. favorite thing. I was like, why, who, what, when? Oh I God. Need to know.
I had this book.
Oh, God. I would read that in a heartbeat. Where is
it? Well, you know, it was crazy things happened to me. But my dad died in we'll get to that in another podcast in mm-hmm. an interesting, odd, confusing sort of way. Mm. And the coroner wrote a book. I wasn't sure if it was a murder or accident with my dad. So the coroner, I guess, was like the head of the head coroner in New York City at the time, wrote a book that I found on eBay about it's called like Suicide or Murder, and it's all of his cases and like
whoa
what is it
you should send,
and I was hoping to see if like
oh you should he was send in there my or something. Dad like your cases your case of your dad and get his opinion. I mean, he did that for years.
Well, there's no everything's gone.
Yeah.
Like, there's okay. no. I've been trying to get copies of stuff and proof of stuff, and that's the darn. Problem is that it doesn't exist.
Hmm.
So I don't know if he is in like I've never witness known protection that story or anything. It's something that I haven't really talked about much. Oh, okay. So, but it'll be an not because there's a reason
yeah,
for it.
Yeah. Just like
but
that.
It's the story is so intricate and so interesting that we'll have to cover that like mm-hmm. true life crime stuff.
Yeah.
That's probably why I'm fascinated with all that stuff.
Oh yeah.
That's probably why I wanted to be. If I was not an actor, I'd be a homicide detective.
Same here.
That's so weird. That's so weird. We should start looking into like, we should start doing this.
All the podcasts I listen to.
Me too. Are,
oh my God, Danielle, can we add this? Okay, yes. So it's going to be sex, love, horror, and real, crime, true crime investigation.
Yes, true crime. I'm obsessed.
That's amazing. Oh, cool.
We should Dateline's my favorite show.
Oh my God, we should have a case of every week that we kind of like just our own input right. on it. Oh, I love this.
All right, done.
Cool.
Done
so welcome done. To our Talk
Hi guys,
Scary to
welcome
Me.
Welcome back. let's mix it up a little bit. So I want to, let's get to, so love and sex seems to go hand in hand.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So this is a really cool question I got. I don't know if I should read his name because maybe he'll be embarrassed, but I'm going to go ahead and say the question and then if it's cool, I'll just, you know.
Yeah.
How do I, there we go. Okay, so his name's Frank. We'll leave it at that.
Frank.
Frank says, my biggest fantasy is seeing my wife with another person. guy or girl. It's because I'm the only person that she's ever been with. And because of that, she's not experienced a lot. I'm basically giving her a hall pass, but she's a big believer in monogamy. I've asked, and it's always a no, but I feel like we need to spice things up. She's not into toys either. I've tried that too. I'm confident enough to know it wouldn't affect our marriage negatively. Mm. How would I coax her into the idea? Or is it even possible? Or will it forever be only fantasy? What do you think?
Damn, that's hard. I mean, that's very, very hard. I mean, this is what I do. I put myself in her shoes. Mm-hmm. If that's my belief, if my boyfriend came to me and was like, my fantasy is seeing you with someone else, but I'm like I said before in the podcast before, yeah. I'm one person.
Yeah.
I would feel like I was cheating.
Right.
Even if he gave me too. Like consent. Yeah. I don't think I would, I wouldn't enjoy it.
Right.
So what's the fun in watching me not enjoy it?
Right. And he's seeing it's not for his pleasure. It kind of sounds like that's what he was saying, right?
Yeah.
Like it's for her. He thinks that she, well, it's his biggest fantasy.
Yeah. So, it seems like it's something that he wants to see.
He wants to see her.
I think that's when you just kind of.
But he's saying it's because she's inexperienced. That can't be why.
No, there's an underlining. It's like there has to be an underlining. That can't be it. I mean,
you don't want to give,
yeah,
your person more experience with somebody else. With
somebody else, then give your partner experience.
Then
work. I mean, but he also said that she doesn't want toys. She doesn't want anything.
He really just wants her to open up.
Are they married or are they not married?
He says, my wife.
My wife. Oh, that's something that, okay, guys, we've got one life. I don't know how to like say that. So like we one life and it goes by really quickly. I feel like before you commit with someone.
Yeah,
you
experience to, stuff. Please.
Yeah, experience stuff. And you need to make sure.
And it's an experience with your partner because you're mm-hmm. going to grow and change and things are going to happen.
Yeah. What would you do if you put yourself in her shoes?
Well,
or his.
I mean, I would be worried. I always worry bringing another person into a relationship that person, they're going to fall in love with that person. Mm-hmm. Like what happens if he like brings another man in and she's like, oh my God, I can't stop thinking about that man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could ruin your marriage.
Yeah.
But he must feel like she's not satisfied. That just seems like what it is. There's something that isn't satisfying her or he thinks would be and could be better and he wants her to sort of break free from it. I mean, I guess I would say, you know, I've been to swingers clubs.
Okay.
And because I am a total voyeur, I'm all about watching other people, mm-hmm. not necessarily having them watch me. So maybe that would be something that they could do I can't imagine she doesn't want to use toys for going to watch other people.
No, to watch somebody else have sex. There's no way.
I'm like, I wonder if that would be okay.
He should take her to Burning Man.
Literally.
just take her to Burning Man. It's like there everywhere. And
yeah, just do it. He just has to get her to be a little more comfortable with herself. Maybe.
I mean, but she should be willing to try some stuff.
Yes.
Like you always you have to have an open mind and you have to like, you know, you have to balance
unless something happened.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if there's,
maybe
if there's,
she was raped or something.
Yeah. Something might have happened we're no psychiatrists or psychologists people. We're just giving you our general advice. We're two regular girls.
Yeah.
So, you know, take it or leave it. Don't like listen to us 100%.
Yes.
But we're just giving you our advice. I don't know. That's a really tricky one, right?
That is a tricky one. I feel like just being open and honest and you have to respect your partner, whether she says no or yes.
Yeah, think of something else that would be your fantasy. Is it his fantasy because she won't do it? You know, I wonder if there's a little bit of like, I don't know.
Is there something else that could suffice? Like maybe you guys watching porn
while you guys
were doing it? I mean, like something like that. Maybe that might be a little bit more comfortable for her.
Yeah, I wonder if they watch porn together and she could openly fantasize about another man while they're together. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
God, yeah, that's very difficult. But yeah, I think the only way that you have to respect your partner, and the decision that they want.
That's not something that just to try to see if it works. You don't just try that. Start baby steps, guys.
Yeah,
baby steps.
Well,
think of another fantasy.
They did. They're like sex toys. Okay, no
something.
Okay,
no.
Well now I'm just gonna drunk like full speed ahead here.
I mean, maybe she can kiss somebody. Maybe it's
would you
something
want a hall
as simple
pass
as
in
that.
Your relationship?
No, hell no.
Yeah, same. No way. No,
thank you.
No way. And I would never give a hall pass.
I would be so weirded out.
Yeah, no.
So weirded out. I am uninterested.
Yeah, no, thank
nope,
you.
Nope, I am a one person.
Yeah, that's good. That was a good question.
That's a really good one.
Yeah. Right? Oh, I hope you figure it out. I really do. Just be open and honest, and hopefully she's able to try other little things.
Let us know what happened.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Maybe try the porn thing.
Yeah, I would. You know what else is really good, too? I love erotic novels. Have you ever read Anne Rice's Sleeping Beauty trilogy?
No, I haven't.
It's so good.
Really? I like comic books.
Oh, shit. Oh, this is very different from
that.
Those
are cool.
It's like the capture, the torture, and the release. Are like the three different ones. Okay. But reading them out loud with your partner.
Really?
Or something, because there's got to be, yeah, that's a nice, like,
oh, cool,
interesting, you know, sort of thing.
Oh, nice.
Okay, what's your question?
Oh, yes. What do you have here? What do I have here? Do we want to stick on the love train, or do we want to, yeah, let's stick on the love train here. So this is a little bit more, this is from LoveLib. How to get over a heartbreak and disappointment from someone you loved and trusted. You know, it depends on, like, the age that you
kill
are.
Them?
Yeah. No. You murder them.
Then so you don't have to worry about it.
Anybody again. Do what we do in our movies.
That's
just
right.
Kidding. I mean, well, is heartbreak easy for you?
I've had really amicable breakups.
Okay.
I've had no, like, tortured, oh my God, I miss that person, I can never talk to them again. It's when I'm done, I'm done.
Yeah.
And they're usually
You're
done
Gemini.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And usually it's like it takes a long time to be done, unfortunately, because I'm still interested in pieces or I understand why someone does something and I give them time to kind of figure it out. But I mean, like, my breakup before I got married, we like literally sat down. We're like, at 2 o'clock today after breakfast, we're going to sit down, we're going to talk. And we went to breakfast and we sat down at 2 o'clock and we had a conversation. I was like, this isn't working. He's like, it's not working. It was 5 years.
Wow.
And he said to me, if you want, I'll never forget it. He said, if you want security and stability, I'm the wrong guy. And I was like, wow.
How very adult of you. Like,
well, I was like, well, I'm not going to have a baby and sleep on your friend's couch because you don't want to get a job because you're an actor. Like, because you don't want to go bartend. Like, I was selling shampoo. I had done our Halloween movie and then was working for a beauty distributing company where I was a shampoo rep.
Really?
I was going, oh, yeah, girl. Oh, I was like, I needed that $3,000 a month, you know, of security because I didn't know when I was going to work again. So for me, I was like, I'm so grateful to have this.
Yeah.
So I worked as a rep. I sold nail polish and filled orders at beauty supply stores. And it was a little weird going in there like,
Are you
just in a movie?
Yeah.
I was like, I'm your Moroccan oil rep. But I love products and I love, like, beauty things, and I loved like doing something that was different for me.
Mm-hmm.
So so he said that to me and I was like, wow, what bothered me more was that he was okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
He was okay with there not being security and stability.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how is that cool with you? You're older than me and I can't feel safe if I'm the only one that, like, picks up the slack, you know?
Yeah.
I fucking go bartend. Like, go work at a who are you to be too proud to, like, not get a real job? I mean, you want to have a family and you don't want to get a job?
Yeah.
No way do I feel secure.
Totally.
So I was like, okay, cool. That's totally fine. I'm not cool with my kid sleeping on your friend's couch if we have a baby, like, and we lose our house.
Yeah.
Because once I'm pregnant and can't work, then who pays the bills?
Exactly.
If you don't want to... So I'm out. And it was like cool. And he moved out. And I think we hung out maybe two more times after it. And he went and lived on his friend's couch.
Get out.
Yeah.
He did exactly.
And then went to find another woman after that was divorced and had money. And she took care of him too.
Oy.
And it's just like, it's just a cyclical
cycle.
Crazy thing.
I definitely
You've been brokenhearted, right?
Oh, fucking.
You're brokenhearted.
I'm the brokenhearted queen over here. Oh, huge. But I think like... there was something, do you know SLA? I'm about to bring this up right now, guys.
Yeah.
Sex Love Anonymous. So I
SLAA.
Sorry.
Yes.
So I went into that program.
Me too.
And yeah. Okay.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Interesting. Hi.
Yes, which I think it's an amazing.
So SLAA is Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. It's a 12-step program that's really quite wonderful. And it's everything from sex addicts to sex anorexics to... love addiction, and it is a very, very real thing and a difficult thing to conquer.
It is. It definitely is. But after after my my cycle of my relationships mm-hmm. and being brokenhearted and them ending tragically and never communicating with that person mm-hmm. ever again, I was like, what's some stuff in here that right. I need to take care of right. and figure out? So I did like 3 years.
Great.
And I realized that I had never been single. I yes. just went from relationship to relationship yeah. to relationship, and I was very codependent. Mm. And so were the other people.
Right.
So it was just like two codependent people right. trying to make like a relationship work.
Did you find yourself involved with other sex and love addicts? Or maybe they didn't know it?
Yes, they didn't know it. Yeah. We all figured it out together.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah, it was so.
And it isn't exciting for anyone that's like, oh, what's that? Is that a real thing? Like, it isn't like a bunch of people that just want to fuck all the time. Like, it's much more intense and serious than that.
Yeah, it comes from a lot of trauma that you have to, like, you know, break down walls to discover and be actually, like, admit to yourself
right.
that you are a little broken and right. that you need help and you need to like do this to be the better version of you so that love can yeah. come into your right. life. If you don't like love yourself,
right,
no one's gonna love you.
I would change what I looked like, how I dressed, yeah, what I did, depending on the person.
Dude.
It was crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and I then went through my gothic phase because of my boyfriend. I got my first fucking massive tattoo on my side because of my boyfriend because he cheated on me with a tattooed girl. Like stupid stuff. Super insecure when I was younger. Yeah. And I would never fucking change anything now.
That's right.
Ever.
You just are who you are. That's right. But you got to find someone that loves you for you.
Totally. 100%. Definitely don't interesting. Change yourself.
I have this thing where I love people that are just authentic. I don't care how crazy, how fucked up, what they look like, where they come from. Like, I just want them to be honest with mm-hmm. me about who they really are. When I ask somebody how they're doing and I hear bullshit, I'm not interested. Yeah. So I find collecting all these people over the years of that are a bit broken or but have really interesting stories mm-hmm. and are really real people. So I think that I wasn't looking for that when I was in my sex and love addiction. It was just like I was so in my head and becoming, transforming into these different people. And yeah, it's intense.
It is so intense. It really is. But to answer your question, how to get over a heartbreak and disappointment.
Kill them.
Kill them first. Yes. If that doesn't work, if they don't die, I think do self work on yourself.
Yeah.
And stay single for, if not how long you were with them, mm-hmm. maybe even a little bit longer. Because it takes a long time for you to get over them. So don't jump into something.
Right.
Like if you've been with them for a year, be single for a year and a half.
Yeah, you can date
and
mess around and have mm-hmm. a good time. Just don't get into a relationship.
Yes. And for these youngins, like seriously, guys, I know that it seems like it's the end of the world and relationships are so important. If I could, I think Danielle could agree mm-hmm. with me. If I could tell myself anything is to not fucking get in a serious relationship in my 20s. Because the right person is going to be there when you're 30.
Yeah, or 40.
Or 40. You know, like just 20s, discover you, yourself, your body. And
you'll know when you meet your person. It's not going to be hard. It's not going to be difficult. There isn't going to be drama. There isn't going to be back and forth. Breakups and get back together. And there's going to be stuff, but it's not going to be the way you think it is.
That was like one thing that I thought what a relationship was, because my first one was like breakup. Destroy, break up. So like if I didn't have that in my relationships, I was like, well, what's wrong? Why aren't we arguing? Why
aren't we good.
Making fucking makeup sex? Like, I don't understand.
Right. Then you're like, oh, because that's actually unhealthy.
Yeah.
Oh, duh. Yes.
Oh, it's so funny. That was such a good question. I love that. I'm a heartbreak person, so I get it. Love, Lib, if you're going through that right now, just do you, babe.
Do you.
Do you. Do you. All right.
And just don't call them after. Like, don't pick. It's like smoking. It's like, you just give it up. You just have to give it up.
I tell my one girlfriend, I'm like, delete their number. And you know, it's you'll hard just hide. To. I'm just like, just delete it.
Yeah.
You need to erase it.
I know.
And block it so it can't call you back.
It's hard one.
It's hard. It's very really hard. It's very hard. It is very hard.
Just don't answer. Don't answer the call. Yeah, that's it. It's like I said, it's like smoking. You just have to cold turkey it and just be done.
Yeah.
Eventually it'll go away.
That's what I did with my last relationship that I was in before the one that I'm in now. I was never the one that would leave a relationship. And then this one I left. because I finally was like working on myself and discovering, you know, my worth.
Yeah.
And I was kind of doing what you were doing. Right. I was like, I can't have a baby with you.
No.
I was like, I can't, I want to be a mom. Yeah. And like, I can't get a house with you. Right. Like this, right. I can't have a future. I can't be an adult with you.
You marry who you date.
Yes.
They don't, they are not going to be different. So yes. If it's not who you want to be with when you're dating, mm-hmm. it's not going to be who you want to be with when you're married.
Yeah, guys. And one life, y'all. That's one life. Okay, do you have the next question?
Yes. Here's one.
That was a good one, though.
That was good, right? If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about any one thing about yourself, life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know and why?
Oh, man. Oh, no. See, I'm that one that's like shaking the eight ball.
Are you or you're not?
I am. Okay. I'm that one that's like, so tell me.
Me too, girl. Me too.
I'm like, just tell me my future. Am I going to be okay?
Yes.
I think what I would want to know right now, the first thing that came into my mind is
when am I gonna have babies?
Yes. Is literally like what, like who is my child gonna be? I guess I would want to know. Like who is my child gonna be? Like, because I know I'm gonna have a baby. My guy wants like two or three, and I'm like, one is coming out of this vagina. I was like, you don't want to go through three times of that.
You never know.
I know. But I guess I would want to see like who they are as like an adult. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm in that time right now.
What if the picture was different than what you thought it would be? How would that change? What if you were told you could not have kids?
Yeah. See, I thought about that.
Would you want to know that? Or would that break you now?
I don't think it would, you know, I don't think it would break me because I always wanted to adopt when I was younger. That was like the one thing I would tell my mom, and she was thought that was very odd. She's like, I want to adopt. So I think I understood that at a young age.
Right.
So if I had to adopt, I think I'd be fine. But not being able to have a baby would be very heartbreaking.
Right.
But at least I would have, you know, a child.
Right. And all of that.
What about you?
I was thinking about this when I saw the question yesterday. I think I would want to know when I was going to die.
Really?
Yeah.
And how?
No.
Just when. Okay. So a woman read my palm at that con we were at.
Okay.
And she like read my aura and she like told me a lot about like when I'm gonna die and like all of that.
What did she say?
She was saying, I do have a long life.
Okay.
But I'm gonna make it until I'm pretty old.
Okay.
But she was also saying I'm gonna hit this serious illness that's gonna take me down for a little bit. And there's three different pathways that I have, but all of them are long.
Okay.
But it's all different from each other.
Okay.
And it was really strange. It was very, very strange. She also told me that my marriage is going to end during that time as well, but then I'm going to find my new love.
Okay.
It's like, what?
Okay.
It's like, no, don't tell me that. So I always tease my boyfriend now. I'm like, well, what are you going to fucking do?
Right.
What are you going to do? He's like, what are you going to do?
Oh my God.
Wow. You would want to know.
Well, I think, you know, I was thinking about it. If I knew, you know, in 6 months or in 30 years, like I feel like even if it was 6 months or 30 years, I would start to live my life differently, which is actually unfortunate because I should live it.
You should just live
it. No matter what, you know, which I am.
What would you do differently that you're not doing now?
Well, that's the question, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think just doing more of what I've already started to do because I've had kids, like starting to be a kid and live my life and just do things that are fun and not be so focused on work or relationships or whatever serious stuff, you know? But I definitely, I kind of want to know, and I would just get on with it a little bit quicker. I would spend less time. That's why there's another question that was like, if you could have 1 hour of sleep and be fully refreshed, would you take it? In exchange, I forget what the exact question was, but I thought, okay, well then what would I do? Like with all the other hours and 23 hours in the day, like what the fuck would I do?
No, I love my 8 hours.
It's great, right?
I'm excited when I get to sleep. Oh, I get to go to bed. Oh, it's almost bedtime.
What if that feeling was you got that same thing and you only needed an hour? We only think we need 8 hours or 6 hours or however long it is because that's what we've always had. What if it really was only 1 hour and we spent the rest of the time? What would you get done? Like, what would life be like with 23 hours in a day?
I think exhausting.
Exhausting.
I think exhausting.
What if it wasn't exhausting?
Oh, then yeah. Then that'd be great. So you're getting like two things. Yeah. I mean, I think that'd be great. But my thing is like, what if you found out that you were going to die soon?
Jeez.
God.
I mean, I guess do you ever think about your funeral?
No, I mean, well, I grew up in, right. Like, you know, so I don't really think about it. And funeral was, like, the hard thing for me to watch because all the families, like, right. crying and bawling right. as right. a child at your house.
How was that energy in your house growing up? Like, was the energy always so heavy?
No, my dad, I mean, morticians, they have, like, a knack for being, like, comedy, like, right. hey, guys. So, no, it was fucking crazy.
Right.
It was crazy, happy, like, dad, stop fucking embarrassing me. Right. Like, all my guy friends would come to hang out with my dad.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, it was, like, very, but, you know, but you do see it, you know, like,
yeah.
you see the bodies and you see the families and all that stuff and what they have to go through and blah, 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 blah. Do you want to be cremated or?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I do not want to be buried in the ground and yeah. in the middle of no hell no. It's so weird. It's like do. Put me in the fire. You know, because I just want to be in the house.
I want somewhere like my kids can go.
Oh, see, I have my grandma in my living room.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I have all my dogs. I think they're in that cabinet behind you.
Yeah.
Oh, like really? I like yeah.
Oh, I do. I have my
yeah.
Maybe it was four them dogs. In the podcast could before.
Been. Could have been.
Shut up, trying to sleep.
Sorry. So I think knowing when you're going to die, I don't know, maybe I would just feel like I would just live my life a little bit fuller if I knew I had less time.
That
or
makes
maybe
me
be
wanna,
so
like,
easy on myself, maybe a little more easy if I knew I was going to live till 100.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel like I had to do so much in such a short period of time.
Do you think that you're going to live a long life?
I think I'll be my 80s.
Okay.
Hopefully. I don't see myself dying young.
Yeah.
But I definitely have envisioned my funeral. Like if I were to die, you know, in a week, like what that would look like for my friends and family. And the stories, like I've fantasized about the stories that they would tell. And, you know, I mean, I have really close relationships with a lot of people that like real honest relationships. So I feel like the only thing that would be devastating to me is to leave my kid, not seeing my kids.
Your kids.
My kids and my husband and my family. Like that would be mostly my children, that would be fucking devastating for me.
Yeah.
Not to be able to, and what they would have to go through without having their mom. My dad died when I was 7, so I get that, like, you know, not having that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to do that to my kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, well, you talk about, like, oh, if I found out I had cancer, like, would I tell them? Would I tell anybody? Like, I don't know. Maybe just because I'm in my mid-40s and you start to think about mortality and, you know, things start to shift a little bit.
Yeah.
So it gets easier and it also gets harder. You know, when you're making out your will and you're doing, you know, you're doing that stuff when you have a family, it's like these are just things you kind of have to think about. You don't want to leave a mess for everybody else to clean up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this podcast is taking a totally different turn. Let's get back to some sex questions. Let me see. What do we have here? I'm like, whoa, that just got too deep for me.
No.
Let's
see here. Did we do a horror?
We haven't done. Let's talk about horror movies.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Who would you have wanted to play, like, like big movie that you're...
Horror franchise related?
Yeah.
I think it would have been really fun to play, like in The Exorcist. Mm. I think that would have been really, really fun to do. Or Firestarter.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
Drew Barrymore.
Which they're redoing.
Yeah, I know.
I heard. I'm very excited about that.
It's amazing. They're redoing Christine, too.
Really? Oh, yes. I just announced it.
Yes, I saw that.
I just posted it yesterday. I
love that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it in your post. Yeah, yes. I was like, oh, my God.
But they're going to remake. They're remaking everything.
Everything.
What about you?
You know, I'm like a Poltergeist Carol Ann kind of girl.
Cool.
So,
okay.
I always think of just like young girls.
Would you ever see yourself tackling, like, directing a remake?
No.
No? No.
Mm-mm.
Really? Because I would love to.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Damn.
I'm uninterested.
Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like they're just looked at through a different glasses, you know?
Yeah.
You're just judged. You're already, I'm already scared enough as is.
As is, know? Yeah.
Because you know everyone's watching. So
yeah.
I would be a little bit freaked out to have to do that.
Yeah, I guess it would be really big shoes to fill, yeah, for sure.
But go for it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know, just do it. Mind. Listen, if they came to me and offered it to me, I probably would have to really think about
really
it.
Because
my instinct, I'd be like, oh God, I'm scared. But what am I really scared of?
Yeah. It's that thing. Someone else is going to just do it. Don't be scared and live your life.
I mean, you see like how we do. Like, I'm just have ideas and we're like, fucking do it.
Yeah.
People are asking about the podcast. Like, where's it going to be? Are you going to do it every week? Who's going to be on your show? And I'm like, we're going to figure it out.
Yeah. We're just going to figure it out as we go. Because this is actually fun.
It'll change, right?
Yeah.
It'll change too. And you guys will be able to tell us what you want, what we need. Like, I want everyone to be involved in the process.
Yeah. And that was like another thing that we were also discussing because, I mean, this is new for us. We were maybe thinking about including phone calls.
Yes, I love
kind
that.
Of like, which I love, like Dr. Drew, yeah, you know, kind of, yeah, like that kind of thing.
So Sarah Silverman does it too in her podcast. Oh, I love it.
I love it. And we can kind of interact with you.
Because I can
you
hear your voice, mm-hmm, or send in video, then I can see.
I mean, it would have helped us too with that question that we, yeah, did earlier. I mean, you know, the gentleman could have been like, well, we've done this, yeah, we've tried this. You know, it kind of like,
yeah,
makes us help like get to like that root of the question. And then also like possible video messages that we're, yeah, able to play and all this
you
stuff.
You guys can send us video messages, DM us, right?
Yes.
Send it on Instagram.
Can they if we don't follow them?
I think
them?
So. Oh.
Yeah. So maybe.
Yeah, I think you can.
Okay.
But you,
okay,
just have to like open it up. I did start a page for us.
Did you really?
I did.
I was thinking about that. I was like, we need to do
an
Instagram.
But I don't know how. Oh, my phone's. How many times am I going to forget that I'm using my phone? Yes. It's Talk Scary to Me.
Mm-hmm. Yay!
It's a picture of you and I. Obviously, there's no post yet, but we can post some of the stuff later.
Yes.
I don't know how to attach your name. It just says like you can like put in like one name, our names together, especially because yours is so fucking long. It was too many letters.
It's Scout Compton.
So Scout Compton, that,
yeah,
could work.
Yeah.
So we'll you have to help me figure out how to,
okay,
kind of,
okay, we'll figure it out.
Maneuver it.
Oh, nice.
And then I guess they can send their questions in there, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be great. And then we could play it on the show and interact with you guys or call in or, you know, all that fun stuff.
It is launching, guys. It is launching.
Woohoo.
But yeah, I mean, this is like we said before in the podcast before, we definitely want to include you guys. Like, this is for you, for us. So let us know what you think that we can do on the show to kind of make it a little bit better since this is like a newborn baby.
Yeah.
We're here to listen.
We're figuring it out. We're, yes, letting you guys get to know us. We want to get to know you.
Yes.
And I think that's it,
yeah,
for
this
our
episode too.
Wow, we discussed SLAA. We discussed the person who died in my house. And we discussed what our funerals would look like and what we would do with our life if we knew we were going to die.
This is great.
It's really interesting.
Way different than the first one. I,
yes,
love it. And now we're going to add like crime investigation, yes, to our, since now we both love this. It's great.
I love it. I can't wait.
Well, thank you guys
Thanks
so much
for
joining
and listening.
Bye.
Bye.